So you'll be happy. Well, not in a good way, but we've got a lot missing. There's still a lot of people don't have power. A lot of people's working, different situations going on. So remember all those. Also, special prayer requests. A guy named Dalton Boyd is in bad shape in the hospital. He's on a vent, they're telling me. Stands in need of our prayers this morning, so we will definitely pray for him. A special prayer again at the end of our service for not just him, but for our election and all. Also, and remember Jane and Jackie still does not have power. So she's supposed to let me know if they don't get it back this evening. We're going to try to figure out some way to help them with something, maybe a generator some way. It's hard to take care of him without power, I'm sure. So remember that situation. Most everybody knows we had a visitor in our church over the weekend. We're not sure when he came in, but we know he stayed with us for a little while. And he pried some doors open and things like that, and did get away with two of our iPads. And as we know right now, that's about it. But he had us some peppermints for today piled up in this thing. We throwed them away. We was able to, me and Corey and the girls in the Heflin Police Department spent a lot of our day yesterday going through camera, and never could really tell when he come in or how he come in for certain. But we know he was here from 9 o'clock Friday until at least 2:15 when we lost cameras. So I want to keep everybody up to date. We don't, again, the iPads is what's missing. Nothing else did he tear up that we found, or he did pry some doors, but didn't really tear anything up. So I ask you, maybe an odd request, but according to the scripture, we are to pray for him also. Pray that God changes him. We don't know his situation. We don't know where he come from. Don't know anything in his past. All we know is, according to the Word of God, we are to forgive if we are to be forgiven. And so let's pray that God changes his heart, and as crazy as it sounds, provides for him of what he needs, and maybe he'll come to the Lord. So does anybody have any prayer requests before we move further? Anybody? Again, remember our elections. We all know what's at stake. We ain't got to go over that. Pray for our church. Pray for each one of those people we encountered at our fall festival. We had a huge turnout. We couldn't even imagine how many came. We never would have thought it this year. We'd had that many. Saw a lot of people. It does good to see our church out in the community, and that's what we're supposed to be, is out to them. So pray for each one of those that we encountered. We don't know their situations. We don't know their hearts, and we pray that God draws them to himself. Do we have any others? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the many blessings you blessed us with. We thank you for providing for us when we don't even understand how you're doing it. Lord, we ask you to be with all these that are hurting, those that are sick, those in the hospital, those that are suffering from any disease, whatever it may be. God, we pray for your touch upon them. Lord, we pray for this young man, Dalton Boyd. We pray that you would heal his body. We pray you spare his life, Lord, that you would use him mightily for your honor and for your glory. God, we pray that you touch his family, give them comfort, whatever the situation may be. And Lord, we know your will is perfect. God, we ask you to bless in our elections. I ask you to turn the heart of the people toward your word. They'd vote according to your word, not anybody's opinion, and the way that you teach, that we ought to put our leaders in power. God, I ask you to lead us this morning as we come to worship, that you would protect us, keep us safe, give our singers the words to sing, give me the words to preach. God, that most of all, your spirit would be in our midst. We could leave saying it's good to be in the house of the Lord. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you, I am lifted up. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy.
I'm the fount of every blessing. Victory is yours.
of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You are everything. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. Power in hand, speaking the Father's plan, sending us out. Light in this broken land. All authority, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory. Worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone. Overcome. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You are the King.
Somewhere or another, I don't know if it was last Halloween or sometime, somebody brought a witch around here that giggles. And after we had all that stuff going yesterday, Abby was here because she thinks she's a detective now. So she come in the office, my office in there, and turned that witch on. So I walk in back in there by myself yesterday, and that witch starts laughing. And I've told people I'm going to get me a gun to bring with me on Saturdays. And if that witch... that witch lasts, we may need a whole new office. But that thing will scare you to death. You don't know nobody's around. It'll start giggling when you walk in. And I think Pat said it in there. If you got your Bibles this morning, turn to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. This is probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. It's been preached a lot. It's been talked about a lot through history. But I think we don't put ourselves in this story as we should. We tend to think about the little boy who had the loaves and the fish, but we don't think about ourselves be in this little boy's spot. But we all are. I think we have enough. That's the title of the sermon, is You Have Enough. We know that, we was teaching Sunday school this morning, I believe that God formed us before we was in our mother's womb. I believe the Bible teaches that, that God created us, and I believe that God gives you what you need to fulfill His purpose for you in this world, everything you need. I believe He gave it to you. He knew the mother and father who would come together to for you to be born, and each one had a part in it, and your personality and everything is designed by God. I believe that, and I believe you have exactly what God determines you to have for what He determines you to do. And I believe we're just like this young lad. As he left home, his mother probably packed his lunch and thinking she had him sufficient for the day. He had these loaves and fish, would have surely been that day. They didn't eat three meals like we do. So surely he had enough food. And when God prepared you to go out, I believe He gave you exactly what you need. I believe you have plenty to do what He's called you to do. But I want you to see this. Why is it important that you give what you have? Because people are hungry for what they don't even know. They don't even realize what they're hungry for. And only the bread from heaven can fill that hunger. They search for it. Listen, do you know where addiction comes from? It comes from searching for something to fulfill a void, something that is missing. We all have that void, and the only thing that can fulfill it is Jesus Christ. The only thing, we search many other ways for it to be fulfilled, but He calls us to use what we have to help fulfill these needs of these others, and He's given them to us. In these verses, I love the scripture in this verse where He tells them, have we any food here? And they says, yes, we have some fish and some bread. He says, well, bring it to me. Bring it to you. And that's what He's asking me and you today, is whatever it is we have, to simply bring it to Him. Bring it and use yourself, use your bodies, the Bible teaches, as a living a sacrifice for God. Your talents and your everything you've got, you should use it for the glory of God. Matthew 6:14, 16 through 21. It says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not to depart. Give you them to eat. And they said unto Him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them to me. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And He took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, He blessed it, and brake, and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. They took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside the women and children. Father, we thank You today for this scripture. God, we thank You that You're still able to use what we have, and You can make it abundant and beyond what we can imagine. God, I ask You to touch us this morning. Be with us and speak to us through Your Holy Spirit. And these words we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I believe there's more than this, but we're going to preach about four lessons in this scripture this morning. Four lessons we can learn from this scripture about what can happen when I allow God to use what I have. Number one, the lad brought it. The boy or lad, whatever you want to call him, he brought what he had. John chapter 6, verse 9, it says, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? You understand that I went to John for that verse because it don't tell us in Matthew who had the fish and who had the bread. But this is one of the only miracles that is mentioned, not the only one, but one of the only ones that is mentioned in all four Gospels. So it must be pretty important that I understand that God is able to multiply what I have. But I have to do what this child did. I have to bring it. I have to have the faith to allow them to use it. You see, I don't know how it took place. I know we preach about this and think about how it could have happened. But maybe they went from person to person seeing who had any food. Or maybe the young lad heard them talking about what they didn't have. Or maybe they did that. But it's possible that the young lad had more faith than all they did. It's possible that the young lad heard Jesus say, how are we going? We need to feed these people. And the disciples were doubting and saying, what are we going to do? We don't have no bread. We don't have no fish. We don't have any money. How are we going to feed them? And I believe this young lad might have said, look here, boys, what I got. Look what I've got. What if today me and you could have that same type of faith that how we fed to figure out what's going to happen to our world, How are we going to figure out what's going to happen to these lost people that don't know Jesus? What if me and you said, look what I've got. Look what I've got right here. I've got something that God put inside of me. I have got everything I need for what God is going to use me for. And listen, people, it's time that we allowed God to use what we have. Every single one of you have something that God can use. I don't care how little you think you must be or how unlearned you think you are or anything like this. I promise you, there's not a person alive on this earth today that don't have something that God cannot use. If it was not, you would be at home. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. God can still use you until you're gone off this earth. And then He's done with you and He's got you at home. But until that day, you have something that can be used. You are important to Him. You're so important. The Bible says you was created, you was fashioned, you was formed by the hand of God. And everything inside of you, God put there. Now you say, well, wait a minute now, I've got some bad things inside of me. We know that come from the fall, and that God made a way you could be reunited with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ, and everything it takes to make up who you are, God put it there. He knows you. He knows what you're capable of. The lesson, of course, here is to simply give what you have. It looked insufficient for the task at hand. When I look around the world and I know how I preach and all these things, I think, well, God, is there really any use in me going this morning? I'm going to preach the Word of God. I'm going to preach it to the best of my ability. There may be people moved. There may not be anybody moved. But if anybody's saved, it's of your doing. So, God, is what I'm doing here to a small number of people, is it really that important? And the answer to that is, absolutely it is. Because, listen, each person, I don't care who you are God's chosen person, you are God's creation, and you are important to Him, and what I have is to be used to honor and glorify Him. It might mean bringing a blessing into your life. The faith this lad must have had to give up his lunch. You see, I've told you they didn't eat three times a day as we do. There wasn't money like they are today. There wasn't food plentiful. Nobody had jobs as we have today. So to give this up was a great sacrifice, because he was certain that he had something for that day. And when he gave it up to God, he didn't know whether he would have anything in return. I believe he had the faith to believe he would, but he didn't know for certain what the outcome of that thing was going to be when he offered this thing up to God. And we've been studying about it in our Sunday school. Me and you were not comfortable not knowing what direction we're going to go. But my friend, if you are to follow God, He will carry your directions and never show you to the end what's going to come to pass. He will take you down roads you'll never plan to go down, and He'll take you directions you never planned. But one thing must be for certain: if God be for you, who can be against you? This lad give up his lunch. Our thoughts would have been exactly what this is. What are they among so many? You see, what many people today would have said, yeah, I'll give it to God, but it ain't going to do any good. What I have is not very sufficient. I'm not a preacher such as Charles Stanley. I'm not a preacher such as Billy Graham. I'm not a preacher such as any of these other great known evangelists throughout the world. I'm not a great teacher such as some of these other people. Or I don't have the money so-and-so has. Or no sense me giving my $10. It ain't much anyway. My friend, what you have may not be much in your eyes, but when God gets a hold of it, look what it can do. Don't ever underestimate what God can do through you. You would be amazed. Jesus asked him, he said, don't tell them to go away. Let's feed them. Disciples said unto him, we don't have anything here but this young lad's lunch. That's all we have. And there's 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Now you tell me how we're going to do this. You see, we always look for the bad side, don't we? As Christians, we should understand, number one, that we have a Savior who's able to do all things. That there's nothing impossible with God. And whatever He wants to use, He can use it for whatever He wants to do with it. And brother, if He wants to take a $10 and feed 1 million people with it, may I tell you, He can do that today. May I tell you, He can take whatever you have in your pockets, if you're willing to give it, and He can bless it. He can take that singing ability that you have that may not be nothing to the rest of the world, and He may change a life with that thing. And the life that's changed may preach to 1 million people, and people be saved. You never know what God can do with what you have. So the lad brought it. Number two, Jesus blessed it.
Matthew chapter 14, verse 19 says, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven," boy, he just blowed our blessing out of the water, didn't he? You see, I have taught my children from the time they were small that when we eat, we bow our head and we ask God's blessings. Jesus didn't close his eyes. He looked up to heaven. And he looked up to heaven and he blessed it. Now you got to look up this word blessed to see what it means. It means to thank or give a benediction upon. Basically, he spoke. Jesus spoke about this lunch, about this young boy's lunch, and God heard him and God multiplied this thing. And it's amazing what happened. So what me and you need to do today is we need to bring what we have and offer it to Jesus. And my friend, Jesus does not change, and Jesus will bless it. He'll speak upon it. May I tell you how powerful his word is? He spoke and worlds came into existence. He spoke and those beautiful stars that we could see last night formed. He spoke and that moon that's up there went in right where it's supposed to be. He spoke all this stuff into existence. And if he speaks on behalf of my little bit I have, what in the world could it do? He spoke. He simply spoke upon it. The power behind the Word of God is the most powerful force on earth still. He speaks and stuff is formed. The lesson for us is to allow Jesus to bless what we have. Bless what you have. You see, we always worry about what we don't have. You ever notice how we are? We always are consumed with what we don't have, and it's how the American economy is built. What do I mean? You go out there to Buster Miles, you buy you a brand new pickup, a Ford or a Chevrolet. I don't know why anybody would buy a Chevrolet, but if you wanted to buy one, you could. And you see that thing would be a new brand new pickup, and you would love it, and you would be so excited about it. But when you get home, there's a commercial comes on and says, "The brand new Silverado has been redesigned. You no longer have the newest model." You see, and you begin saying, "Oh my goodness, I have to raise a tailgate up with my own hands. Oh my goodness, I've got to roll the windows down, or I've got to even push a button to roll the windows down, and here's this new model that all I've got to do is speak to it. Hey, buy my truck even. And it's not even one of the fancy ones. You can tell it to tune to a radio station, it'll do it." And Ashlyn gets in my old truck. I got an old 78 Ford. And she'll get in that thing, and she'll say, "This is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Whoever made it where you had to roll the windows down." You see, we always worry about what we don't have. What if, and this is a big what if God's people that he has saved, that's in this church right here today, you say, "There's not many here, I don't care, but the ones that are here right now, the sound of my voice," what if each and every one of us allowed God to bless what he has given us and not focused on what he hadn't given us? You see, we always say, "But if our church had this, we could really do that. If we had a better preacher, if we had a better Sunday school teacher, if we had a better this, we had a better that, then we would really be something there. If we had more space, we had more money, and we all consumed about what we don't have." Brother, it's time to thank God what we do have and offer it to him. Carrie, give me a book, I think it was, or somebody, for Pastor Appreciation, about the church moving forward in the post-coronavirus era. And there's churches that's doing some crazy things. You know what they're doing? They're opening their facilities to the community. And when I saw that, I said, "Well, they're crazy. They're going to tear it up." You see, they have trusted that God is able to use those things. They have opened their facilities up and allowed different meetings for the place. I'm talking about places that had big old rooms. Some of the city councils are meeting there that didn't have space in their own space to social distance. They're opening this thing up, and guess the craziest thing is happening, y'all. They're seeing people come to their churches because their church is opening up to the community, and no longer is it a closed door to the community. That is crazy, ain't it? But they'll tear our stuff up. May I remind you, honey, it ain't your stuff. It belongs to him. Allow him to use what you have, and he'll bless it. He blessed it. You understand, we have a mediator between God and man. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, there is one God and one mediator. There's not any other mediators. I pulled this up and began studying about it. The Catholic Church says, "Well, oh, there's Mary and there's this and that." That's not biblical. According to the Word of God, this verse 5 covers that. there is one God. He is the true God of Israel. There's not any of that other stuff. There's the one true God of Israel. And listen, there is one mediator between him and me and you and him, and his name is Jesus Christ. No other way can a man interact with God besides he goes through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Only one. So Jesus blessed this and did the impossible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I just said it. There's one God between man is Jesus Christ. But listen to this. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask in the name of Jesus. How are we going to do this thing? Bring it to the Lord. How are we going to do this? Our church needs this. How are we going to do this? Bring it to Jesus. How is our community going to be reached? I tell you how it's going to be reached. The same way it has been since the gospel was put out there to people to be saved, was that we are going to take what we have, we're going to offer it up to the Lord. The Lord's going to bless it, and Jesus is going to do impossible things through people who have a little bit of nothing. You see, when we look at our stuff, we say, don't know how you can do it through it. When I look at my talent, I think there is no way that I could ever pastor somewhere as big as such and such and such and such. Boy, I get all kinds of things of how I can get discouraged. And listen, it may not be God's will I ever pastor a big church. That's up to him. I don't care anymore. But what I do care is that he'll take what I offer and he will bless it, and it will be used according to what he knows is right, not what I think is right. You see, when I trust God's will, I'm trusting that God's going to do what he knows is best and not what I know is best. Because my opinion don't matter very much. There's power in the name of Jesus. He blessed it. Number three, the disciples give it out. Have you ever noticed this? They give it out. I believe they was sitting there passing this stuff. This is in verse 19, by the way. You want to go back and read it? It says, Jesus blessed, he broke, and he gave the loaves to disciples, and disciples to the multitude. What I saw in this was, we cannot give unless we are given. I cannot give out to a lost and dying world unless it's given to me from the Lord. You see, we've been so guilty of saying that God has laid this upon my heart, that upon my heart. He's told me to do this thing or that thing. And buddy, if it ain't does not line up with the Word of God, then it has not been given by the Lord. Everything he's given me is right here. There is no new revelation. There is no new words he's going to give me that he does not give to somebody else. He may lay things upon my heart to do that's from the Word of God, messages that from the Word of God, but you have to be careful about preaching something that you feel like that you know is right. This is what scares me about topical sermons. That's sermons where I take a topic and just harp on it, because I think I know what's right in that situation. But when I go to the Word of God and I give it out verse by verse, I can be assured that this thing is right, because it is the Word of God. You see, this loaves that he's given us to distribute today is right here. It's all there. He has given it to me. All I've got to do is give it out. I've got to give it out to them. The disciples, they had absolutely nothing to do with supplying that bread. All they did was receive it from the little lad. One of them, I don't know who it was, brought it to Jesus and offered it to the Lord. The Lord spoke upon it, and he blessed it, and it multiplied, and they give it out to all the people. Can you imagine how exciting it was for them? I think they were some happy folks. You see, there is nothing in whether you admit this or not. You may be the most hoardiest person. You may be the stingiest person in this room. But I promise you, if you're a child of God, there's something that feels good about giving something away. You just love to do it. And as you're blessed with more, you can give more away. It's an ongoing process. I believe they was giving out this bread, and I believe they was tickled to death. I believe they was happy. Said, hey, have you seen what's in this bag? We're not even to the end yet. There's 2,000 fed. There's 3,000 fed. There's 4,000, 5,000. There could have been 15,000 people there. Or maybe 20, scholars say. I don't know how many was there. But what I do know is that when Jesus blesses it, brother, it's enough for everybody. Disciples distributed it. They was giving it to everybody. It didn't matter if you were sitting on that grass, you got it. You say they didn't say, well, this one here will think I'm crazy because I'm offering him this bread that's been blessed. You see, that's where me and you think today. I'm not going to tell this person about Jesus. They'll think I'm a fanatic. I'm not going to tell this person about the Lord. They'll think I've lost my mind. It's 2020 and we don't talk about that stuff anymore. We don't invite people to church. We don't invite people to salvation. We don't tell them they're lost. We don't do any of these things because they'll talk about us. They'll think we've lost our minds. May I tell you, according to the Word of God, the disciples give it to everybody who was sitting down. They had nothing to do with providing it. They had nothing to do with who eat it. They simply give it out. Me and you today are disciples. We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are called to give out the bread of life. And may I tell you, on the authority of God, there is enough for everybody. I know that God says that He will draw them to Himself. I understand that. But I believe that every person, that because the Bible says, whosoever will, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. I believe every single person who has ever been created, at some point, God has given them an opportunity to come to Him. Just as all those thousands would sit down, every one of them got bread and fish. They didn't have to take it, but it was offered. You see, that's the next point. That's the next point. But before we get there, I want to read a verse to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I've showed you all things that though so laboring you ought to support the weak. For remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I believe this verse talks about a lot of things. There's a lot of things we can give. I think money is probably one of the least things that people give today. I believe that our talents are one of the most least things people give. I believe our time is more the least. I don't know that there's a favorite one there, but all of them we are hoarding up for ourselves. You see people say, well, I don't have the extra money. Did you know? I don't know about this church. I've never run the numbers. Don't care. I never look at the offerings. That don't matter to me. God's in control and He's going to provide. But in most churches, people that study this stuff say 5 to 10% is the only people that give. 5 or 10%. They say that if the entire Christian community decided to tithe 10% of their incomes in the United States of America, all of our government entities could be done away with. No more food stamps. No more any of that stuff. If the church took care of the people as it's supposed to, and they could do that if people would give according to where they're supposed to give. More blessed to give than is to receive. You see, we say, well, that's mine. I work for it. Belongs to the Lord. Our fourth point, I've done told you, the people had to eat. The lad brought it. Jesus blessed it. The disciples give it out. But the people had to eat. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20. And they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat. To me, this part is probably more of a miracle than any other, is being a preacher and a pastor that I see. You see, I can provide you with somebody put on Facebook, and I love this. I don't know who came up with that meme, but it says that you can't blame the shepherd if the sheep don't show up to eat. Each person had to. This is probably the biggest miracle to me of this whole thing. That every single one of these people in the Bible does not lie. It said they did all eat. It don't say 90%. It don't say 99%. It said they all eat. Out of thousands of people, everybody liked bread and fish. Anybody got a family in here? You do. Raise your hand. Y'all ain't. So somebody got a family. Do you go out and eat sometimes on Friday and Saturday? Those that are married, what does your wife say she wants to eat? And then when you go where you want to go, she soils up. It don't matter. You're going to go where you're going to go anyway. That's what I always hear. Nobody tells me where to go, but where I go, where I'm going, and when I get there, they're all mad because I went where I was going. And I've asked them to tell me where they wanted to go. But this amazes me that all these thousands of people have given the offer, the bread and the fish, every single one of them eat. I said that in a comical way. But spiritually speaking, all people today don't want to seem to eat. You know the difference why all these people eat?
Jesus himself was in their presence. He was in their presence. Oh, the power that was there. You see, we pray that God's power, his presence will be among us. The truth of the matter is, there may have been a few times that we've been in church that we really, really know that he was here. Why? Because he's not going to come somewhere he's not wanted. He's not going to come somewhere where there's sin in our lives. At this point, he was present. And when he offered the bread of life and he offered the fish, everybody ate and were filled. He is the only one that will fill you. Nothing else will fill you. You got all your addictions and all your habits and everything you love, but brother, I promise you, it'll never fill you. You know why it's addictions? Because you had to keep on and keep on trying to recreate the first high you got. That's why it's called an addiction. I work with a guy who's been addicted, and he'll tell you that he strives to have the first feeling he first had from the first time he done meth. So he'll try, after that don't work, he'll try some acid or something different. He'll try heroin or whatever. He's searching for that high that takes everything away, to go back to the first time, and it never fulfills it. It keeps going, 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 until their body begins withering, withering away. They get sores on them, their teeth fall out, because it's eating their bodies up. But yet in their minds, they're striving for more and more. They all eat, and they're all were filled. They could have refused. You know why they didn't refuse? Because they was hungry. Today are me and you living a life in front of a world where they become hungry for God. They become hungry for what we've got. And the answer to that is, and we ought to say, oh me, and ask God to forgive us, but we're not. Because we're always complaining, we're always griping, we always got an ugly look on our face, we're always fighting among one another as Christian people, there's churches split all the time, we're always dealing this, and we haven't seen, that they haven't saw a difference in us, and because of that, they've not come hungry for what we have. These people were hungry, so they eat. When you give, when you bring what you have, you give it to Jesus and he blesses it, it'll always be for the others. Every time it's for other people. But they must eat. And you must eat. You see, the bread of life is being given out this morning. Jesus is the only way you'll ever be in the presence of a holy God. And I know most of us as home folks, we've been here forever, but I don't know anybody's heart, I don't know anybody's life, but I promise you, unless you have eaten of this bread of life, you will not live. Will not live. The miracle worker that blessed it, the same one that made them hungry. John chapter 6, verse 42 through 48. Listen to this. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he has said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. As is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Go back and read that whole chapter sometime today if you have time, or next week. Of John chapter 6. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the only thing that'll fill you. He is being offered to you today freely. You see, I told you about those four lessons. And actually, I am not bragging one bit, because there is a million and thousand people in this world that can do this way better than me. I simply brought what I had this morning. I'm offering it to the Lord. I'm asking him to bless it. And he is. There's enough for everybody in this room. There's enough for everybody in this community, of everybody in this world. It's up to them. It's up to you whether you will eat. If you will eat, you'll never be hungry again, spiritually speaking. This world is starving. The bread they know nothing about. The try all types to get filled, but nothing lasts. We have what they need. You have what they need. You see, the lad that day, he had exactly what it was that Jesus needed. It wouldn't have mattered if it was two loaves and two fish. It wouldn't matter if it was one loaf and one fish. When it was offered to the Lord, he blessed it. It was enough. Today, will you simply, please, allow God to use what you have? You say, well, it ain't much. It may just be a prayer warrior. That's fine. Offer it to him. Well, I can't speak. I get nervous. Offer it to him. I can't sing. Offer it to him. Try and see. Try him and see that he's good. And I promise you he is. If everyone that would, that can, come down to the altar, as we've done the last 2 weeks. And I invite you to eat of this bread of life. He is plenty.